praises to God. We've prayed. We've had a lesson on the spirit and the flesh. We're looking forward to Friday night. What's happening Friday night? We're going to have a singing. And it's a good time to invite our friends to come and enjoy worshiping God with us. Many of our friends will find it different here than where they may go to church, because we do not have a band. We do not have instruments and things playing. And at one time, it used to say they don't have a piano, but now it's much more than that from what I hear and understand. And the answer that I would simply give is, well, we're just trying to do what we read in the New Testament, and we don't read about the instruments being used in the New Testament in worship. And we'll get to that in the end. But I looked at this week from a standpoint. I said, Tommy, I just want to read the Bible and find out everything it says about singing and playing and everything else. And I just want to find out what would I think if I just came to the Bible. And I want to tell you what, I understood pretty quickly that I would be like the Ethiopian eunuch. How can I unless someone explain it to me? And I think that, therefore, it can be difficult for our neighbors and friends to understand that, because as most of us have done, we have believed what we've been taught. Now, that's just the truth. That's the way Christianity comes. None of us are far from where we've been taught. And we need to always examine those things, certainly. That's what we ask of others. That's what I must ask of myself. I almost wish I hadn't done it. I'm no scholar. And there was so much reading, and there was so much thinking, to where at the end I think, I don't know if I put down what I want, you know, the things I need to or not. But let's start and see. When we read about instruments of music in worship, and we're talking about other than the voice, and we're looking at that in the Bible, we first find the mention of that, or at least I found the first mention of that, in Genesis 4:21. And this was of the sons of Cain, and it told, and this is not said something bad about Cain. This isn't that thing. But it says, you know, Enoch was born, and then Lamech, and then Lamech had sons, and Ada gave birth to Jabal, verse 20. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and has livestock. It's just telling where different trades of things came up. And then it says, his brother was Jubal. He was the father of those who play the lyre and the pipe. Music has always been an important part of human experience. And for Zillah, he also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of implements of bronze and iron. And so there's where we first hear about it. And then I saw where, and I'm not saying I found everything. Believe me, we'd be here for 5 days if I told you everything I looked at this week. Because I tried to just look. It's hard to get out of yourself and just look at things. When Jacob took his wives and left Laban, well, Laban pursued him and found him and caught up with him. And he said, why did you leave and flee secretly to deceive me and did not tell me that I might have sent you away with joy and with song, with timbrel and with lyre? It's just a part of life as we know about life and instruments. And, of course, as you read the whole story, Laban's hunting for his house idols. And he goes into Leah, and it's not there. You know, weak-eyed Leah didn't have it. Goes into the other daughter that Jacob wanted. She hid it and just sort of lied about that thing. She did said she didn't have it. But anyway, so Jacob didn't know anything about that. Jacob was absolutely ignorant of that. And then when you get to, because what we're going to read most about in the Old Testament is what surrounded the worship in the temple and the tabernacle. But before you get to that, you find Moses crossing with the people and Pharaoh's armies being covered up. and the song of Moses. And then you have Miriam, the prophetess, saying things. And it says here in the 15th chapter in verse 20, Miriam, the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. I'm going to tell you something. You read a lot about dancing in the Bible, too. And, you know, I think that's hard for us to say about dancing. We say that. Well, let me tell you, dancing's not wrong, but illicit sexual movements are wrong in anything. You read a lot about this rejoicing and dancing and such in the Old Testament. Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider he is hurled into the sea." They went out after, Miriam the prophetess, this is Aaron's sister, took timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing, and then sing to the Lord. But then we get further, and we find David. And that's where you really see about instruments is David. And you read about the Psalms. You read through the Psalms, it's just full of the instruments. That as Psalm 33, who I don't know wrote that. Some say it's David. Most say it's David. But you remember Psalm, music can calm and it can inspire. You know, I'm not really a music guy. I'm just not a music guy. Wiki is a music woman. She would die without her music. I mean, that's just the truth. She says, you know, she's told me before, Tommy, I could do without a lot of things, but I can't do without music and song. And I just understand that's differences in people. But it does inspire and it does calm. And Saul, so it came about whenever the evil spirit of God came upon Saul, David would take a harp and play it with his hand, and Saul would be refreshed and be well, and the evil spirit would depart from him. You know, some people, they can't get in their car without the radio going. Any of y'all like that? I don't ever turn on my radio. I talk to myself and the Lord when I drive. No wonder Wiki worries about me getting killed. But most people, some people can't drive without it. I understand that. God's people have taught me to learn to love singing. This is the psalm that just read for us. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord with lyre, with praises of the harp, 10 strings, sing the Lord, play skillfully, shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is upright. The Lord found praise in the instruments and singing. You just go through the Bible, you cannot say that wasn't what it was, because it was. It's over and over. Sing praises with the timbrel and the harp. With the harp, the sounds of the psalm. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise to the harp of God. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. And over and over. And you know, I've noticed in my preaching even sometimes I'm just, in my studying, sometimes I'm not even real comfortable reading all those passages, you know. I mean, I'm just being honest with myself. That's all I'm trying to be, is be honest with myself. And I understood that God, over and over, you just read it. I read a lot. The last psalm, you know, it's, I thought I'd read it. You know, it's one of the ones that is short and we can read, but I don't read it much. But it ends the psalm by saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praises him in his mighty expanse. Praise him with mighty deeds. Praise his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with harp and lyre. Praise him with tremble and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's a powerful passage. Everything praise the Lord. There were special people that wrote the Psalms. The Psalms were like the songbook of Israel. Moreover, David and his commanders of the army set apart for the service of some of the sons of Asaph. He's a Levite. Who was in charge of the singing and instruments in the temple worship were the Levites. What was the Levite? Who were the Levites? Priestly tribe. So God, let me tell you, that you didn't have a hard time at all in the tabernacle and temple worship of finding out about how this should be done. Because God just tells it. And, you know, that's what we're saying. If God wants it done in the church, we would want him to tell it. You know, we would want to read it. But he says, who did this? What were the Levites? And this Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals, and the number of those who performed their service was, and he goes on to number them. And in Ezra 2:41, it says the singers were the sons of Asaph. You know, Asaph wrote Psalm 50 and Psalm 73 through 83. And there were 183 of these singers. So it seems as I studied this, there were these Levites who were the players of instruments in the tabernacle and temple worship, and there were singers. It was like choirs. The sons of Asaph, they were the singers. And it seems to me, what I've read, and believe me, I know that, but you know, I believe the common man could read the things and understand it. I've always believed that. And I think the more we take it out of that, the farther we get away from things. But it wasn't even mixed choral. It was the men singers. It was Asaph. These were the men in the temple that were singing and the playing that was done as I read these things. Then those who sing, as well as those who play the flute, shall say, all my springs of joy are in you. That's the sons of Korah. Korah was a Levite. And over, when you read notes in the Psalms of 84, 85, 87, notes to the choir director. These were the sons of Levi directing the choir, playing the instruments, and doing this worship to God. This is an important passage to me. This is one of the most important passages on this subject as you look at it in what happened in the tabernacle and temple worship. This was already my anchor passage before I did this exploration. It's hard to explore and just read, say, I want to go back and just read. It's not easy. It's the commandment of the Lord. And he, Hezekiah, stationed Levites in the house of the Lord. Who is Hezekiah? Hezekiah is a good king in Judah. You know what, though, it says? He's a good king like his great-grandfather was a good king. His grandfather wasn't good, and his father wasn't good, but Hezekiah was good. And he wanted to restore the things of the temple because it had gotten bad. And I read that he was a man who had taken the pole that Moses raised when the serpents were biting and put out because they were worshiping that. And he was restoring this. And he wanted to call back God to do what the people of God to do what God told them to do. And so he stationed Levites. Who were the Levites? Led the service. He stationed them with cymbals, with stringed instruments, and with harps. The Levites played these things. And here's why he did it. This is an important thing. According to the commandment of David, of Gad the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for thus was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. I tell you what, this was right. Because God ordained it, and God accepted it, and God loved it in his praise. This wasn't anything immoral at all. This is what God wanted. God commanded instruments of music in the temple in Jerusalem. I say in Jerusalem because, you know, I remember my early days of preaching. I found those Amos things, passages, and I said, you know what? They invent for themselves these evil instruments of David. That's what's wrong with instruments. That's not the point. Amos is prophesying to Israel. and he's from Judah, goes up there. Israel, guess what Israel done? Up there, they had started their own worship, remember? Well, they started Dan and Bethel, and they started their own worship. Well, they started, well, since it's down there, we'll start doing our instruments. We'll have this worship. He says, that's wrong. It's wrong because they ought to have been in Jerusalem. There ought to be Levites doing exactly what God had said. Not going up here in Israel. Nothing was right up there. Jesus said that the Jews are right, not the people up there. Also remember this about Hezekiah, the one we just mentioned. Hezekiah's a great guy. He's the one that would not give in to the Assyrians. He did it first and paid. And then when Sennacherib died, then his son came on. He said, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to pay it. And so the Syrians came against him. And you remember that's when they threatened Hezekiah. And Hezekiah just laid out the paper letter before the Lord and said, Lord, these Assyrians are going to come and wipe us out. And the Lord passed through them that night, and 180-something thousand died. That's the kind of man Hezekiah was. He is about trusting in the Lord, and he wanted to restore the ways of the Lord. Okay, having said all that, worship in Old Testament times included specific commands concerning musical instruments and their use in worship to God. There's no getting around. That's exactly God said it. It was good. It was righteous. It was a wonderful thing, and that's what he wanted. In the New Testament, now are we in Jewish worship or Christian worship? In the New Testament, the new and the last covenant, there were other covenants besides the law of Moses, and it includes all these other things, I think. We just don't know about it. We just got a lot about the law of Moses because that's the only written law we got. But now this last covenant, Christians were instructed to sing. That's what they were instructed to. You'll never find that they were to praise God with musical instruments in their worship. That's an important thing in the Old Testament worship. Not so even mentioned in the New Testament. And just the verses. You want to read about it? I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with understanding. What Corinthians. You know, Corinthians does mention a bugle or something, but it's talking about an illustration about speaking in tongues. You don't want to blow something like an army person or cavalry blowing trumpets. Come, and they know what the trumpet says. Well, he's talking about speaking in tongues there. He ain't got a thing to do with singing. But what he tells the Corinthians, I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding. I hope when you sing that, sometime I'll tell you what, I look around and I think some people are, they do not please God. They don't look like they're singing. Now somebody might be, they might have some kind of disease, they might not can talk, and they don't look joyful of the spirit, and I just think, boy, they're just opening their mouth. I'd like to quiz them about what we said. I hate to say that, but I do. If we gonna sing, let's sing. Let's don't find out what we're going to say at the Lord's table. Let's don't find out what we're going to preach next. Let's don't find out what we're going to pray about next. Let's sing. That ought to be that important to us. We're worshiping God. And so we should. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding. So I'm getting on any of it. Don't sing if you don't know that. It don't matter how good a voice you got. I don't have a good voice, but I got a loud voice. So I sit up front where it doesn't mess anybody up at the leader. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. For both he who sanctifies and those who have been sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. You don't find we need evangelists and we need pastors and we need teachers and we need Levite leaders. You know, if we're going to just follow the Bible, it looks like that's how That's what we want, to walk by faith. Therefore, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Temple versus church worship were different. In temple, there was burning of incense, molten bronze seed lavers, altars, angelic images in a room, candlesticks. It was a room where God was. It's a room where God was. Friends, that was done away in Christ Jesus. Because God is in Christ, in us, in every place. And it's not this building, it's us. This building is not holy. It's the people that are holy. This building is not sanctified. It could be used for good purposes when we're not using it. As far as I'm concerned, we make it something holy. So we try to make it comparable to the temple. It's different. And there were instruments of music. I put that because I think instruments of music just sort of is something that was previous, and I'm not sure. It was not in the church. But I'm not sure that as you look at it, when others decide to use it in other ways, I'm not sure about that. You know, but that can be your discussion and my discussion, a thought. That's just a thought. The church, the assembly of saints, there was no incense, there was no lavers, there's no candlesticks, there's no altars, there's no images, and there's no mention of instrumental music in worship in the New Testament. That's what we're going by. Historical voices, and I know this doesn't prove anything, but I tried to find, I must have Googled every day three times about historical voices and finding out about instrumentals. I do think that there were Christians probably. How long were they in Jerusalem before they were dispersed? Where's Ryan? Huh? 7 years. I probably think they were going in and out of the temple too. And nobody ever, you know, we never hear an objection to that. It just wasn't something they did. And that's the reason I'm saying, just trying to look at that, of what was going on in Jerusalem, and that wasn't causing a problem. But when the church, the first time it's found in the church, it was in the 7th century. The only thing that's ever mentioned in a tabernacle I could find, I searched to find out, was it in the tabernacle, was they had some horns, like the old horns. You'd blow, it's like church bell. You know, they'd hear that and know whether to come to the synagogue or need to come, ringing the bell for fire. That's all I could find. I'm just telling you me. Dr. Tommy Porch would be doctor of defensive football at Concord Middle School. That'd be it. That'd be my doctorate. Voices from the Protestant leaders from 1500 to 1850 uniformly condemned it. I've got these written here. Where it was brought in, John Calvin, Presbyterian, rejected it. Martin Luther, Lutheran, rejected it. John Wesley, Methodist, rejected it. Adam Clark, Methodist, rejected it. Charles Spurgeon, Baptist, rejected it. Andrew Fuller, Baptist, rejected it. I'm just saying these were the reformers that came out of the Catholic Church who said that, now I know that doesn't prove something, but it tells you, I'm reading things about history trying to find that. They thought it was part of that temple worship, shouldn't be part of our worship in spirit and in truth today. Early church fathers wrote in opposition to instruments in the late 2nd century. That's when you see some early church. But let me tell you this, you'll prove too much if you get studying too. They also were against anything but all of us just singing together. The early church fathers would be against the, you know, how we do these rounds and people singing different things. They would have been against that. I'm just saying it's interesting to find out. But they were having these discussions. Christians were having these discussions. And they wanted unison worship. There's no There's no historical, let me read, I've got one paragraph I want to read here. There's no historical or scriptural indication of any instruments of music in Christian worship. There's no written opposition to musical instruments in any setting in the first century and a half. So there was no objection. You read nothing in the about objecting to what was going on in the temple or anything. Of course, that AD 70 was gone anyway. All that was gone. But in 180, the use of instruments in Christian worship was then discussed. But during the first 150 years and toward the end of the second century before it was started, discussed by the fathers, and they rejected it. Christians began condemning the instruments themselves. Those who oppose instruments today believe that church fathers had a better understanding of God's desire for the church. I'm reading this from somebody who really don't believe what I believe. But he's saying people today like us, and by the way, we're not the only one. Mennonites, Amish, Islam, some Presbyterians, Anabaptists, there's Greek Orthodox. There's a lot who have still felt that way. We're not the only ones. And I won't read the rest of that. Here's a question I ask, and I just throw it. And Derek mentioned in class, we can't do what we're claim we're trying to do. What we're trying to do, my friend, is just be Christians like we read in the New Testament. And I can't argue from silence to tell people this is what, I don't have the answer to some things. So what I'd say is, well, let's just do what the Bible says. Somebody says, well, do you know that's wrong? Well, I know this is right. You know, sometimes you end up that way. I know this is right. Let's just do it this way. We can agree on this. You know, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Somebody says, you know, we're commanded to sing psalms, and psalms were told to be put to music. That's an argument. And I used to say, oh, no, the instrument that we play now is a harp. I don't think that's what this, I don't think this proves a harp is an instrument either, other than, because I do believe it's an instrument, but I believe that had to be used in the temple. I believe that had to be used prior to the temple. I think God has always said, if you sing and you worship, you pray, and you don't use your harp, that's not the instrument you're using, then it's condemned. That's what I think this says. Don't try to prove more than it says. Just don't take it too far. So someone might ask the question this. Is it possible? I want to try to be fair. Is it possible that God did not command musical instruments other than the voice because there would be no physical temple and perhaps a lack of ability of all to obey while worshiping God in every place in spirit and in truth? I think that's possible. But now I can't teach people what they need to do upon what would be possible, you know. You can't argue from silence. Here's what we argue from, and that's what we've had the last 2 weeks I've mentioned about. Jesus says, all authority has been given me on heaven and on earth. If Jesus had been given all authority, well, how much do we have? None. So if we're going to be one and all of us be able to do the same thing, we ought to do just what we find Jesus and his apostles teaching. That's what we believe you ought to do. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will people worship the Father. It's going to be different. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. Salvation is of the Jews. That's the difference between Israel and Judah. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I just tell you the truth. I believe the instruments are so now that you're just like a rock star in some of these churches. It becomes things that just, wow, is that spirit and in truth? And well, if we just stick with what the New Testament says, we won't get there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus said. What does Colossians 3:17 say? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. If we are going to worship in song, because this is what the Lord Jesus told us to do and what his apostles and prophets said, what will we do? We'll sing. We'll sing with our heart. And we'll sing with the Spirit. And we will sing with joy. And we will sing with honor. And when people come, they'll know we know the Lord. Because we're doing what he says. I go into church and they sound like a bunch of deadbeats getting through a song. I would just want to go to another church. Because that's not what Jesus has commanded. That's not what the apostles commanded. They command the heart to be in this. We know that the saints in the New Testament were taught to sing songs of praise to God. We know that because we've read it. We have no biblical or historical that I could find. If you find otherwise, please help me. We have no biblical or historical evidence that their singing was accompanied by instruments of music in their worship. That's about all I can say about it. I used to could tell everybody what they ought to do in private, too, but I'm a little different than I was used to be on that. But if we're just going to be united and all be one and just say, let's do what it says, well, you know, you don't get hung up on a lot of things about it. Say, we're going to sing. We can all agree that singing is a revealed and acceptable offering to God, to his church. And that's what we believe. You know, I told you at the beginning of my study, I tried to make myself like the Ethiopian eunuch. I tried to erase my brain. My brain is getting erased in time. Give me another 10 years and most of it will be gone, and I'll get to study this in truth. I mean, I'm having to, don't think I didn't look up verses I used to could quote. But I really felt like if I was like the Ethiopian eunuch, I'd be saying, I couldn't understand this. That's really how I felt. So all of us have had to have a lot of help get to where we are. But I think that's why we are. I'm not about condemning people that God, that's why he's condemning people for something. I'm not about that. But I am about this. We are united in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So we just read the New Testament, which is the New Covenant, and we try to do what it says. We're not trying to tell everybody else what they've got to do. They'll have to decide what they believe about the Bible. But that's what we believe. And that's why we do it. And we don't do it out of harshness or hate or even out of the feeling that, oh, awful thing about instruments in God. We don't do that. We understand God has rejoiced in these things. And when it was a physical temple, he made it a part of it. But he didn't make it in a spiritual temple, in the spiritual temple, which is our body. And we can guess all we want to about why he didn't do it. And don't think I hadn't guessed. But in the end, I just have to say, what has the Lord said? So, when we start Friday night, number one, you be here. And number two, you decide you're going to obey God in your singing. You come because you want to sing, and you sing. If you're off key, you're off key. If you're bothering somebody else, they can move. Because I'll tell you, they're wrong. This is a heart and voice thing. So let's get off our shy. I believe in doing everything you do for the Lord with all your might. That's what I believe. Somebody says, well, I ain't got to. Well, get there. That's where we want to get to. So we're going to sing an invitation song. What is it? Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. No way could you more praise Jehovah today than come to his son for forgiveness, as was taught to us by Brother Barnes, and as was sung to us, we sang about we've come to the waters. We've had our sins washed away. Why don't you do that right now as together we stand.